Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Menachot Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Bet, near the top of the Amud. About to look at the second Mishnah, and this is the 11th parak of Masechet Menachot. Achat Shtei Halechem, Achat Lechem HaPanim. Again, comparing and contrasting these two Menachot. Lishatan V'Yuchatan Bachutz. They both have to be, maybe kneaded and rolled and set up outside of the Azara. That's what we assume Bachutz means. But must be baked inside. And cannot be done. None of this may be done on Shabbat. So lechem apanim must be done on Friday. And shtei halechem, if Shavuot falls on Shabbat, would be done the day before. The reality is that shtei halechem is not done on Yom Tov either. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol ma'aseihem bifnim. It has to always be done inside the Azara. Rabbi Shimon omer, le'olam hevei ragil omar, which means he's quoting a tradition, which is, shtei alechem alechem panim ksherot ba'azara u'ksherot b'veit pagi. They can be done in the Azara, but they can be done also in Beit Pagi, which is at the wall of the city. So the entire thing may be done outside. So again, we have the middle opinion of Tanakama, which is that the kneading may be done outside, but the baking must be done inside. Rabbi Yehuda says all inside. Rabbi Shimon says all may be done outside. Now, Hagufa Kasha, we find an internal contradiction in the Tanakama's words. Amart lishatan v'chatan bachutz, which teaches you alma midat yavesh lo nin kadsha. Because after all, you have to measure out the proper esronot, two of them for the shtei alechem, 24 of them for lechem apanim, in the isaron measure. And if the isaron measure sanctifies the flour, then you can't take it out. But, so that must mean that the Isaron was not sanctified, as we saw that opinion earlier on, Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Vafiatan bifnim, but you bake it inside, alma midat yavesh nid kadsha. Obviously, why do you bake it inside? Because the concern is that if you bake it outside, and because it's datoch Shabbat, you have to do it the day before, then when you bring it in, it is you'll have an issue of lina, so I have to bake it inside because you have to do it in the makom in the kodesh kli. So I'm Rabbi Kshadam Kasheh Shehu Kasheh Kibarzel. There was a very tough guy who was tough like iron, and he asked this question. Umana Rav Sheshe, what was the question? My Kasha. But we answer and say that's not much of a question. Dilmi Isaron lo Mekadesh, Tanur Mekadesh. Maybe the Isaron measure was not holy, like Rabbi Akiva said, but the Tanur that you bake it in is kadosh. That's not a problem. Ali Kasha Akasha. Rav Sheshit couldn't have asked that. That's too easy of a question to answer. Must have been this. Vafiatan bifnim, the fact that you bake it inside, alma tanur mekadesh, which means that if you bake it inside, that means the tanur is mekadesh. But that would mean that the minute it's done, it can't lapse. Ve'enan dochot ha-shabbat, but if you can't do it on Shabbat, then ifsala belina, then that means that you baked it on Friday, and then it's nifsal belina, because you didn't put it up until the next day. So Amar Rav Kshadam Kasheshu Kashek Rezal Manav Shesh at the same point. So Amar Ravashi Maikush Ravashi says that's also not a question. Dilma Maimi Bifnim. Maybe Bifnim means Makom Zrizin. It doesn't mean inside the Azara. It means where there are Kohanim available, meaning it's done outside, but there are Kohanim around who are watching it to make sure that it's done properly and doesn't rise, etc. And then that would mean that it's all done outside and nothing's Mekadesh until you put it on the Shulchan. It's not Mekadesh, and therefore there's no Lina issue. But v'had Ravashi brutahi, that report in the name of Ravashi is mistaken. He never would have said that because manav shach iafiyab ba'inan zrizin. Because if you say bifnim means not in a particular location but near people who are keeping a good eye on it, then lishav richad nami ba'inan zrizin. Then you should require that also for kneading it and letting it out, say setting it out. Ve'i lishav arichah lo ba'inan zrizin. If you don't need it for them, afiyah nami lo ba'inan zrizin. You don't need that for afiyah. Al Ravashi brutahi. That statement of Ravashi is rejected. It's not true. Since we are left with a question of the status of the tanur, because if it is mekadesh, we should have a lina problem. Okay. Rehudah omer kovasim ifim, etc. Amar v'yavah barkana. Shnei mikra echad darshu. But Rehudah Shimon, we're proposing, were using the same very strange interaction between David and Achimelech HaKohen of Nov at the beginning of Perak Chaf Aleph and Shmuel Aleph, when David came to Nov on the run from Shaul and asked for some provisions, and he ended up taking, oddly enough, the Lechem HaPanim. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagreed about how to interpret the odd psukim here. In there's an interaction. It's not even clear who's speaking. It says v'hud derechol afkia yom mikdash pakeli. Is David speaking? Is Achimelech speaking? Is the narrator unclear? So Rabbi Yehuda Savar, what does that mean? B'chol ashkachinu deka afulei. David found the Kohanim baking it on chol. Amarlu derech chol kafi tulei. You're baking it on chol. Avkei yom mikdash pakeli. It becomes kodesh today. So if sebelebelina, it's going to become pasul tonight when you don't put it on the shulchan until tomorrow. Rabbi Shimon Savar, that's not what happened. B'Shabbat ashkechinu lekafulei. He found them baking it on Shabbat. V'lo derech chol ba'itul me'avda. If derech chol is a question, it should have been derech chol. Midi tanur mekadesh or chanun mekadesh? What are you afraid of, that the tanur that you're baking it in is mekadesh and is a lina problem? No, putting it on the shulchan is mekadesh. Of course, this is all very difficult because there's no shulchan, because there's no aron, there's no mikdash in Nov. It's a temporary what we call bamat tzibur, bamat gdola. In any case, the problems with that parak are well known. But within the context of the midrash halacha that we're trying to squeeze out of it here, we end up with the following. That Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda may be disagreeing about how to interpret the backstory of David's conversation, as it were, with the Kohanim who were preparing the Lechem HaPanim. But there's no way in the world that David met them when they were baking Lechem HaPanim. That the only thing that the Kohen gave him was Lechem HaPanim that had just come off of off of the Shulchan, which means it had already been baked a while ago, as in like a week ago. So therefore, he didn't find them when they were baking it. So Amar Lohu Lo Mibaya Hai Dekevan Denafak Lemimila Derecholu. So now we interpret according to everybody what the conversation was when he says Vehu Derechol Kiyom Afkiyom Kiyash Pakeli. What David was saying, I don't want that old stuff, because I know that that's derechol. It's already been taken off the shulchan. There's no more mi'ilah, even though, of course, David is a non-coin, can't eat it. That's a separate problem. Ela afilu ha'ech nami da'yom mikdash pakeli, but I want you to give me the fresh stuff that you just put in the kli. Havali d'lecho, why? Mesukanu, because I'm in danger. I'm physically starving. There's no other food here. I need that food. And Rabbi Yehuda Shimon b'gemara pligi, and their disagreement was not about interpreting the psukim, but rather about a tradition. As I said when I read the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon's wording makes it sound like a tradition. You should always be accustomed to sort of repeating this phrase that that the lechem apanim shtei alechem are ksherot beveit pagi. So they had different traditions about whether or not they could. It could be processed outside. Okay, the next Mishnah is really four Mishnah together. We're not going to read the last one, because the last one will be only dealt with in the next podcast. We'll go back to it at that point. But Chavite Kohen Gadol. Now, we're going to compare this to the previous Mishnah. Lishatan v'chatan v'chatan v'fnim. These all have to be done inside according to everyone. V'dochot et ha-Shabbat. Because the difference is that the Lechem HaPanim are only sanctified when you put them on the Shulchan. The Shtei Lechem are only sanctified when you slaughter the Kivsei Atzeret. So therefore, you could do them in advance. There's no lina problem. The Chavitei Kohen Gadol have no such other piece. They become kodesh when you bake them. And therefore, because of lina, they have to be done on Shabbat. Now, tchinatan v'hagadatatan eno dochet ha-Shabbat. But the milling of the flour and sifting it, that's not dochet Shabbat. And why? Because of the famous rule of Rabbi Akiva, which we know from Rabbi Elazar de Mila, Chalam Rabbi Akiva, Kol Melacha Shefshal Sotah Mi'Erev Shabbat, Eina Dochat HaShabbat. Any Melacha that could be done before Shabbat is not Dochat Shabbat. Shefshal Sotah Mi'Erev Shabbat, Dochat Shabbat. But if it couldn't be done before, then it's Dochat Shabbat. So for instance, in the context of Mila, when there is a mitzvah of Mila on the eighth day on Shabbat, Rabbi Akiva says, the Mila itself you could do, but things like bringing the knife through Shuto HaBim you can't do, because that could have been done before Shabbat. Same thing here. You could mill and prepare the flour on the day before, but you cannot knead it and lay it out and bake it before, because baking it before would then lead us to a problem of lina. Okay, next Mishnah. Kol HaMenachot Yesh Ben Ma'aseh Kli Bifnim. And by the way, that Mishnah, the first one that we just saw, is not even going to be dealt with in the Gemara. The Gemara will pick up at this point. Kol menachot yesh ben ma'asei kli bifnim. All menachot have to be processed with a kli inside the azara. Ve'en ben ma'asei kli b'chutz. Meaning that it has to be a kli sharet. Shtei halechem, now let's look at the dimensions. The shtei halechem, or kan shiv'at tfachim v'rochban dalet tfachim. They are 7 tfachim long by 4 tfachim wide. Now remember, there's 2 sets, which means the total is going to be 8 tfachim wide. There's 2 lachamim. Right, so that's 7 by 4. The breads have corners that come off in diagonal off of them, and they are karnot, corner like corners of a mizbeach, and they are 4 etzpaot long. Lechem apanim, but lechem apanim is orkan asarat tvachim rachban chamishat tvachim. That's 10 by 5, and of course there you do have the 2 sets, which means they're really 10 by 10. Ukarnotav sheva etzpaot, and it's 7 finger lengths out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shalotita, here's a mnemonic. Rabbi Yehuda is famous for his mnemonics. Tetzach Hadash, Zadad, and Yehaz. Zadad, 7 by 4 by 4, and the Lechem HaPanim is 10 by 5 by 7. Ben Zoma Omer, just to explain this, V'natata al HaShulchan Lechem Panim. It's called Lechem Panim, Farai Tamid, meaning Lechem Panim Shulo Panim, that it has lots of different faces. In other words, it's folded up, and it's got a piece going out this way, so it faces in a lot of different directions. Okay, now, the next piece is HaShulchan Orko Yud V'ruach Bo Chamisha. This is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who, as we will see in a couple podcasts, holds that the Shulchan had the 5 tefach ama, and since the Shulchan is 1 by 2, therefore it's 5 by 10. Arko yod v'rochbo chamisha, which means it's exactly the width and length of the Lechem HaPanim. Chamim arko yod v'rochbo chamisha, but Lechem HaPanim come in 2 sets. So ten arko kened v'rochbo shel Shulchan, you take the length of the Lechem HaPanim, which is 10, and put it corresponding across the width of the Shulchan, which is 5, which means there's half of the lechem is sitting on the table, and 2.5 and 2.5 on each side are sitting off the table. Kofel tfachim mechatzah mikan, tfachim mechatzah mikan, then you fold up 2.5 tfachim on each side, so there's your box. Nimtza orkom malei rechbo shel shulchan, and therefore you have that the length of it fills the exact width of the shulchan, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore the shulchan is absolutely filled, there's not one millimeter left on it to do anything else but lechem. And the lechem is at cross purposes with the shulchan folded up. Reb Meir disagrees because Reb Meir holds that the shulchan was built on the 6 tefach ama, and therefore it's 6 by 12. Shulchan orko yud bet v'rochbo chvav, lechem panim orko yud v'rochbo he. The lechem panim we all agree is 10 by 5. So ten orko keneged v'rochbo shel shulchan. So the 10 tefachim now go against the 6. If so, then you've got 2 on each side. Kofel tefachaim ikan tefachaim ikan. So you lift up 2 on each side, 2 on each side. But it also means that you've got 2 tfachim in between the breads that are empty. We want wind to go and air to circulate there to keep the bread from getting icky. Abba Shaul Omer, he says, that's where the 2 bazichim would go, in that space. Sounding like you have to put it on top of the top bread. In describing the camps, it says, here's Machane Ephraim, ve'alav matei menashe, which means matei menashe was on him. Matei menashe was not sitting on top of Machane Ephraim, but rather, matei Ephraim, but rather, it means with them. So alav means next to or with, and therefore the bazichim could be with. Okay, we'll skip this last Mishnah about the Arbas Nifim and get to it in the next podcast. In the meantime, the Gemara. Kol menachot yesh ben masei kli b'fim. It said, shalut Rebbe, zumi nayin. How do we know that menachot need to be processed with kelim? Amayim arehu omer, because the pasuk says, v'yomai la'izel makom asher v'ashlu sham hakohanim et hachatat et hasham et hachatat, asher yifu et hamincha lebel tiyotzi et halachat seyar chutzina. The description, Yechezkel here, ties together the chatat and hasham with the mincha. Chadumi la'asham v'chatat. Ma asham v'chatat tu'nin kli, just like they need a kli of shchita, a kli of kabbalat adam, af mincha namituna kli. So a mincha also has to be processed with a kli and can't just be made by hand and baked in that fashion. Hashulchan orko asara. Now let's get down to the dimensions of the table. Rabbi Yochanan, divrei omer tefachim echzal kofel. We saw this earlier. Hashulchan mekadesh chamisha asar tefachim lamala. If you say like Rabbi Yehuda that it was 2.5 on each side and there's 6 breads, that means 6 breads with a height of 2.5. That leaves you a height, all of the whole system, of 15 tefachim, which means the shulchan now has 15 tefachim of airspace that is mekadesh if something goes in there. And we said earlier in the Gemara that would be like if the Levona was put not in the bezach but just on the thing, anywhere within those 15 tefachim it would become kadosh, perhaps. Divrei Amar Tefachaim Kofel, according to our mayor, says there was only 2 tefachim, so shulchan mekadesh yud bet tefachim mala, only 12, not 15, 2 times 6. Now, the question is, Va'ika Kanim, what about the boards that go in between the loaves? There's a loaf, and then there's a dowel, and then above that there's a loaf, and there's three dowels, etc. And the way, by the way, the system worked was that the bottom bread sat on the table. Above the bottom bread, there were three dowels going across, then a bread, three dowels, a bread, three dowels, a bread, three dowels, and then the fifth bread had two dowels, because the sixth bread that it was supporting wasn't holding anything up, so it didn't need as much support. Sixth bread had nothing on it. So the answer is kanim shkue mashkelahu. The kanim would not sit right on top of the bread, they'd be sunk in a little bit. So my tama mishumi afushi lechem. But remember, the reason that you had these boards there was to afford a little space between the breads to keep them from getting mushy and getting a little moldy. So if sof kama afish lechem, so if you have the dowels sunk all the way down, then the breads are all contiguous. The dowels are serving no purpose. The answer is magwale porta. They'd lift it up a little bit. It wouldn't be totally sunk down. Vaika uporta. So therefore, why is Rabbi Yochanan counting 15 or 12? You have at each point a little bit of extra airspace. The answer is kevin alavi tefach lochashivlei. Even if you add up all of that airspace, it doesn't add up to an extra tefach. So Rabbi Yochanan rounds down to the basic tefach of 12 or 15. Vaika bazichin. But you have the bazichin that sit there. The answer is begavei delechem avi yatvi. They sat on the bread, which is below the top level. Okay, vayika karnot. What about the corners that would stick out? The corner karnot, the gavei the lechem kaiflu. They would be bent into the bread. Lechem alayu nachle, and the bread would be sitting on it, which means that nothing was higher than that. Ah, vahayika miskarto. You have the miskeret of the shulchan, which may have been above the table level or may have been below. And if it was above, then everything now is a little bit higher. So, Kamandori's Kartola Matai Tar, Rabbi Yochanan is operating based on the print, on the opinion that the Miskeret was below the table. Kamandori's Kartola Malai Tar, even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says it was above, Parktu Avam Mfrakta, that the Miskeret itself was broken down so that the Lechem sat right on the table and the Miskeret was around it. So you still don't have any extra airspace. Rabbi Yochanan works according to both Shitot. Lechem Gavede Shulchan Aviyatev. The bread was still right on the table. Kedetanya, as we find the following. He disagrees with the next Mishnah that we're going to read about the boards that would be there. It says there were no boards. Ela Miskarto Shel Shulchan Mameret Alechem. It's the Miskeret that keep the bread in place. Amrulo Miskarto Lamataita. No, they disagreed and said it was below the table, so it's not going to help. So Rabbi Yossi obviously felt it was above. But even if you say it's above, there's still no extra airspace. Rabbi Yochanan says the following. New piece. Building off of that, about Tilchot Tumah. The Divrei Amar Miskarto Lamataita, according to Rabbi the Chachamim, who say the Miskaret was below, that means that the Shulchan was like a flat surface without any sort of a rim. If that's the case, then Tavlami Tapecha Tmeah, then if you have a tray which could be used reversibly, then it's Tameh, just like the Shulchan was Tameh. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who says the miskaret was above, then you'd have to ask about tavla mitapechet because you can't solve it from the shulchan because the shulchan really did have a rim. Now, michlal de shulchan bar kubuli tumehu. So Rabbi Yochanan is building off the principle that the shulchan was vulnerable to tuma because otherwise this whole proof it doesn't mean anything. How could that be? Kli eitz asui danachatu. It's a kli eitz, a wooden utensil that's used to put things on, meaning it doesn't move. It's never picked up. And the rule is, v'chol kli eitz asui danachat, en v'kabal tuma. My tama, do me the sakbain. And why is that? Because in Parshat Shmini, when it talks about the different kelim, it says, oh, eitz, oh, sak, etc. It has to be like sak. Mas sak ni tatal malevrei kan. Just like a sack is something that's carried both full and empty. Same thing with the table or anything else. To be makabel tuma, it has to be something that you would carry both empty and with something in it. And so how could the shulchan be makabel tuma? The answer is shulchan amital tuma levrei kan. The shulchan was picked up even with the bread on it. Famous story, the Torah says you put the lechem on a shulchan tahor. Tahor michlal de'ika tamei. Implying obviously that it could become tamei. How could that be? El alameid shemagbihin Oto lo ole regalim umarin bo lechem. That when the people would come for Aliyah LeRegel, the Kohanim would pick up the Shulchan inside and let people look through and see the lechem. Look and see how much God loves you. Rabbi Yishuv and Levi, like the following drush, Rabbi Yishuv and Levi, when they would take the lechem panim off, it was as fresh as when they put it on. Back to the story of Achimelech and David in Nov, that it was fresh bread on the day they would take it off. So in other words, once in a while, the Shulchan was picked up, even with the bread on it, and therefore it's Makabel Tuma. But you don't need that. Why didn't Rish Lakish just say that the Shulchan is Makabel Tuma? Because it's gold-plated, and gold is Matechet, it's Makabel Tuma. Milo, Tanan, don't we have a Mishnah in the beginning of the 22nd parak of Kelim? HaShulchan vadlufki or dulpiki shenifchatu. Let's say you have a table, and it's made out of wood. And a dulpiki is like a small little coffee kind of table. That's not what they used it for, obviously, but the top got etched away or something. Oshichifan b'shayish, or you covered it up with marble, and marble is avanim, which is not makabel tuma. V'shi'er b'hen miktzato makom hanachat kosot, and you left enough space of the wood to put cups in there. Tmein, it's still makabel tuma. V'yiromer makom hanachat chatichot. You need to have a place to put food, not just cups. Okay, shi'er in lo shi'er lo, but clearly that means that if you cover the whole thing with marble, it is not makabel tuma because marble is klei avanim, and that means that a kli is defined by its plating and by its cover, and that means that the shulchan should be defined as a kli matechet because it's covered with gold. Maybe the case there about the dlufki was a case where the marble was hammered in, and here it wasn't hammered in, just sitting there. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan about the dlufki, but sipui omeid, but sipui she'ino omeid. Is this only with a cover that's really hammered in or nailed in? B'shechifa et lavz levzino shebelochifa et levaz vizin. Is it only if he covered up also the handles or the rims around it, or even if he didn't? Rabbi Yochanan doesn't matter, which means that it doesn't have to be a permanent cover to make it defined by the cover. So why is the Shulchan not automatically klei matechet? The answer is, maybe you think that the acacia wood used for the Shulchan is so important, you can't negate it with plating, even though plating is gold. Where the Rish Lakish, who interpreted that Mishnah about the Dlufki as only applying to kind of inexpensive tables, but these kind of important tables are important enough that the marble on top of them doesn't cancel out the wood, Shapir, that would work according to Rish Lakish. El Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said, no matter how important the table is, no matter how fancy and expensive it is, if you plate it, then it goes after the plating, so Ma'ikal Lemeimar. So then why is it not the case that the Shulchan is Makabel Tuma because of its plating? The answer is Shani Shulchan Derachmana Karye Eitz. The Torah referred to the Shulchan as Eitz. Shinemar Mizbeach Eitz Shalosh Amot is the Mizbeach. Gavor Orkosh Daim Amot Mukzaot Lo. V'Orkov V'Kirotav Eitz V'Idaber Elai Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Adonai. So the same text calls it a Mizbeach, calls it a Shulchan. So we say the Shulchan is called Eitz. And therefore, in spite of the plating, and even though according to Rabbi Yochanan, plating always defines it, here the Torah, the Tanakh, in Sefer Yechezkel, goes out of its way to redefine it as Eitz. Therefore, without the comment of lifting up the table to show the Lechem Aponim to the Olei Regel, it really would not be Makabel Tuma. And point, by the way, is that Patach Mizbeach Hoseim B'Shulchan, the Torah, the Tanakh here, starts by calling it Mizbeach and calls it a Shulchan, which teaches another lesson. Rabbi Yochanan Rolazud Amr Tavayu, famous Midrash, Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam Mizbeach V'Chaper Al Adam. When there was a Beit HaMikdash, he had the Mizbeach to affect Kaparat. Bizman V'Chshav She'ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, now that there is no Beit HaMikdash standing, Shulchano Shel Adam V'Chaper Alav. Man's table, meaning his hospitality and his charity, helping, allowing people to come and sit at his table and eat, that is mechaper. That takes the place of the mizbeach. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick it up in the next podcast. We'll go back to Tzadi Heyamud Bet for this last Mishnah about the Arba Snifim, and then we'll pick it up here. Everybody should have a wonderful day.